Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Positive Nigerian energy, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. The authentic source of Nigerian information. And, of course, it's time for us to bring to you Diaspora Cup. Diaspora Cup by Officer Basi Osage of the Toronto Police Service, Nigerian in diaspora, who is doing a great job in the area of policing and law enforcement. Remember, this is Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Positive Nigerian energy, positive Nigerian vibes, positive Nigerian narratives, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. All right, Officer Basi Osage, are you with us tonight again?
Yes, Basi Osage is with you tonight, coming on live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Right now in Toronto, it's 19 degrees, so we're almost saying goodbye to summer. And we're about to enter spring, and then fall, and then winter.
All right.
But here today, we're going to be talking today about social media and law enforcement and police. And then just to follow up with what we discussed last week on the impact of cybercrime. Social media is part of that cybercrime.
Yes, I agree with you, but looks like... social media is a big menace right now. We don't know how to police social media because it's very individualistic, and quite a number of people don't know what to do. I'm sure we'll be talking about that a lot more on tonight's episode of Diaspora Cup. All right, Architect Basi Osage, thank you very much for being with us again today. Nowadays, it seems like social media is pretty much universal. Chances are law enforcement agencies, they also have official social media accounts, and officers have their own personal accounts. So how do you resolve, you know, this social media issue within this big, or within the milieu of all the contradictions in social media?
Well, the first thing we'll talk about is you have to understand social media. You should not use social media unless you really understand it. even if you got to take a course 101 on social media, you should, because it's beneficial to you, your family, and everybody. And one thing you must understand, that as social media is so popular, as social media is so in the open, you also have a lot of police officers that you don't know as part of their responsibility and their job on social media. You may be in Tanzania, you may be in Nigeria, you may be talking to an FBI agent in Washington. You may also have to understand that whatever you put on social media, it's not private anymore. So you may say, oh, you can't use any information you put on social media is not considered private and confidential anymore, because that's what we in the police, that's what we call open source, because anybody can get that information. So that's the first thing you must know about social media, that whatever you put out there, it's like you sitting down in your own living room and you have a cameraman and a video guy coming to your house to video your conversation. And that video guy decided to put it out there on the TV. And then you no longer have control over it. So just know that is how social media has become. That whatever you put out there is not private. Our police are involved. It affects even when we do hire people as new recruits for the police. We go to their social media account to find out what kind of person they are. So social media affects you in your personal life and also in your if you ever want to be a public officer.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, sites such as Facebook and Twitter give law enforcement agencies some control over, you know, an individual's reputation, just like you've said. They release facts and can, of course, squash potential harmful rumors. Now, what are the good sides of social media to law enforcement?
Well, the good side is enormous, because social media is used by police the big thing right now is a lot of people talk about community policing a lot. Mm. A lot of people talk about how police legitimacy and people trust in the police. One of the big thing about social media is that police use it as a community relation tool, like Facebook, like Toronto Police Service. What we do is we have a communication department. And in the communication department, we have encouraged individual officers to engage and having their own social media accounts. What does that do? In the old days, people would call press conferences to put the news out there. We don't need to wait anymore. Police now use social media like as a public announcement.
Mm.
So if there's traffic on the road, a traffic accident, police quickly put it out there. We no longer have to go to the media and wait for press releases. Those days are over. That's one thing. The other thing, police also use it to control public opinion. Because what happened is video comes out and people are bashing the police for doing something right or wrong. And then the police then put out a rebuttal to checkmate and then sway the public to their own side so that the public can then work with them and say, okay, well, maybe you can control public opinion that way. The police also use as a tool to fight crime. Because, like I said, when something happened, I remember I went on a detective course and when I was working with the homicide unit. And the first thing they tell you is that for every crime that is committed by a criminal, that criminal either left evidence on the crime scene or the criminal takes an evidence with them.
Hmm.
It's for you as a detective to find it.
Wow.
And you'll be surprised how many people post something on social media after committing crime. If you look at the January 6th in the United States invasion on the Capitol Hill, most of the suspects were arrested due to social media investigation. And what people don't realize is that technology has advanced so much that if you are in a crowd and you commit an offense, the police have a way, if your picture taken, put that picture on social media, put it somewhere, and they will be able to find any of your social media accounts just by taking your picture. Say you take a picture of me right now in a bar.
You're right.
There's a software out there that you can put in the system that it will generate anywhere on the web where my picture resides.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. And then, obviously, if you put my picture up there, you say, oh, Pastor Sagi has a Facebook account, have Instagram account, have this, have that. So that's a tool that the police use.
Sorry to butt in, but did it help in the Hush Puppy case, for example? All the things Hush Puppy was posting on the...
But Hush Puppy was arrested basically due to his social media. He was good in posting exorbitant and live pictures.
Extra big. He wasn't smart
in terms of how to protect himself. Because when you read, I'm not privy to the police actual investigation, but when you read the script from the District of Columbia in I believe it was California, when you read the brief, the attention, the investigation started on social media.
True.
Because like we said on our last episode, just by knowing, I believe he posted his birthday celebration, and then he posted his real name there. Just by knowing those two things, you can, as an experienced detective, you can put one or two together, and then you start that as the basics for your investigation. Hmm. That's how basically it was. If he was never on social media, maybe today he would not be found. I'm not trying to encourage crime and say, commit crime, but don't be on social media. I'm just saying that.
I hear you loud and clear, my brother.
I'm just saying that if you're committing crime and you're on social media, then there's nowhere to hide. Like I said, think about the old days. It's like you committing a crime in the old days, committing robbery, say 20 years ago, you committed robbery, and you go on TV, and then you're showing off your loot. Mm. Social media is like that, but people don't realize it. Because you're lying on your bed in a dark room, and you are putting stuff in there, you think it's just you. No, the whole world is watching you. The best way you train people about social media is that you say, look, whatever you think that you don't want another person to see in real life without social media, then don't put it out there. And what my boss told me, said, Bas, the best thing you do, write it out, but don't post it. Post it the next day.
What difference does it make?
The difference is that you try it. I've tried that. The next day, you are most likely to delete it or to delete half of it or to edit it because sometimes we speak out of emotion.
Okay, all right. So you've got time to think about it, to ruminate over it.
Yes. Hmm. So that's one thing. Then social media also allow police for efficiency because social media has just become a powerful tool for law enforcement agency, including police, through with text messages, posts, tweets, and we offer direct ways to engage with community by sharing critical updates and receiving like real candid feedback. You'll be amazed how even my social media page, how many people send me information on my Facebook account, on my Instagram. Then, lastly, social media helps to recruit future police, and also, like I said a few minutes ago, it's also bad for people who want to be police officers and then because what they post. But it's good for the police because then it helps us to bring people with integrity. So you can't hide anymore. So if you're a bad person where it used to be impossible to kind of check your character, social media make it easy for us to detect what kind of person you are.
Wow. All right. I like the sound of all of this. And it's putting some more light onto social media and law enforcement. But now let's go to some of the nitty-gritty issues that we promoted. Now, how does social media, become a limitation, for example, for people who are hurt or people who, people just post fake news about you, they say all kinds of things about you. There's no redress for you as an individual. And yet, they are going against the law. How do you remedy this?
Yeah, but you have to think about what kind of law are you talking about? That's why we're here today. Mm-hmm. What kind of law are you talking about? Right. If someone comes to you, like now people can edit your picture and change your face and then say bad things about you. the best way to look at it, the audience, the best way to look at it is, think about it. All the existing laws in the country, wherever you reside, still exist. If it is traditionally, if it is wrong for someone to go to a newspaper and publish something about you that is wrong, that is libel, that you can sue them, you can still sue them. Social media doesn't change it.
Yeah, but in some countries like Nigeria, even when you go to the law courts, they don't accept things online, you know, because our laws are a bit, you know, behind.
You have to look at our system. It's not the law that is behind. It's the police that are lazy. And not just lazy, it's the police that don't have the technology to investigate crime. So in a country like Nigeria, it's open-ended because police don't have the tools, they don't have the necessary technology to actually investigate any social media crime. So any social media crime committed in Nigeria, even if the police attempt to investigate it, they're going to be unsuccessful. Because first of all, what do you have to think about? How many Nigeria undercover officers are on social media? How many Nigerian officers are actually on social media on Nigerian police accounts? Like my social media account is always at Toronto Police Osaigi, torontopolice.com. Those are official websites. So if someone comes to the station, for example, and say, look, so-so person posted a naked video of me and I did not approve of it, right? So then the first thing you do, this happened when I was doing my work as a detective. So first thing is, okay, what is your social media site? I want to look at it. Then I have to open it to see actual image and capture it. And then, as a detective, you then have to go into who you they may know the person who sent in the picture. But then we have to also find out the IP address, where it was sent from.
Correct.
So we have a department that do that. I can just send it to my department and say, look, check which IP address this email came from. And within a minute or within, then it will get back to me where that the information was sent. But in Nigeria, we don't have that. First of all, if you go to a police station, most police, there's no official computer to check those things. So that's why, if we're going to speak in terms of Nigeria, it's impossible to investigate social media crime because the police doesn't have the tools to do it. The FCC is supposed to be a little bit more sophisticated, but that's not their job. And I don't think they actually really have the tools, the technology to do it, even the FCC. So that's why it seems that those crime are beyond police investigation in Nigeria. But in Canada, we do investigate social media crime. And if we do find out that somebody posted a naked picture of you, but it's tricky, right? Because if you exchange those picture with that person, do you expect privacy?
Wow.
That might be the tricky part, because if I share my picture with you, my naked picture with you, then there might be no expectation of privacy. Because now, I have given you, it's like I have given up my right to share a picture. That's why something very difficult to persecute successfully if your partner or boyfriend public your naked picture without your approval. Then you can go to court and say, look, she gave it to me, he gave me the pictures, there was no expectation of privacy.
I hear you.
That is why, look, that's why I look that way. So that is the tricky part of it. But in United States, United Kingdom, Canada, police do investigate social media crime all the time. Although, like I said, it's tricky because the success rate is very low.
All right, that's good information.
So that's that about I believe the issue of how come it's not being persecuted. It's being persecuted, but it has a very low outcome of conviction, because another thing you have to look at is that a lot of people are embarrassed to talk about social media, to even go to court.
That's true.
A lot of people are being burned every day by social media, but it goes on unreported. First of all, people don't have faith that it can be investigated properly. And then when someone calls the station and say, "Oh, this guy have a naked picture of me," then you want, okay, open it or send it to me. They realize that they have so many of those pictures they send out to about 10 guys every day. So people don't want to be subjected to that. Like when you say, okay, bring your laptop, because it's not just enough for you to tell us you have a naked picture of somebody or somebody's spreading other stuff. We may want to seize that computer to be able to authenticate the information you are giving us. But another big crime that is being committed on social media is like child pornography.
Yes.
But Toronto Police, we arrest people, a lot of people doing that, because I don't think I'm revealing any secret investigation. Everybody know that. Because you can have police pose as a child, and then you engage the perpetrator, and they end up getting arrested that way. That's a question that's brought up by Nigeria. How many police officers in Nigeria that child pornography department that is embedded online to try to catch these guys that are luring people, children, for sexual favors? So those are the issues why it seems that there's no persecution. There is persecution. The conviction rate is low because people, most time, it's not reported. The people, the victims, the so-called victims, are not open, 100% open to persecution.
All right, thank you very much, Officer Basi Asagi of the Toronto Police Force and Nigerian in Diaspora on Diaspora Cup. It's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in Diaspora up to speed. Positive Nigerian energy, positive Nigerian vibes, positive Nigerian narratives. We are the authentic source of Nigerian information, and we are doing that tonight with Officer Basi Asagi of the Toronto Police Service. All right, now let's move to another issue. You've really, expatiated, this topic, because quite a lot of people have been wondering, why can't I do this, why can't I do that? But let's go now to, for example, corporate bodies. For example, in Nigeria, I have a case, which I've been pursuing. Somebody commits, dies by suicide, and then they put the picture of a brand, and there's no authentication, no supporting evidence that this is the brand that the person ingested to commit suicide. How do you handle such a case? What does is there a role for law enforcement? I've been talking to my legal colleagues or legal practitioners who are my friends, and we don't seem to have a grasp, of it. So you put a picture, somebody commits suicide, you put a picture of a brand that is supposedly used, but in the story, there is no substantiation, no authentication that Mr. XYZ or Miss XYZ, who committed suicide, used this brand. How do you resolve that?
Well, sometimes that's complicated to resolve.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, the police doesn't have the resources to pursue every lie, every fake news, every fake picture that's out there. So that is the challenge that we face as police officers, is how do you get rid of the fake news and the fake story? So if it's gonna affect the public a lot, if it's really detrimental to the public, then the police pick and choose which one to investigate.
Okay.
But if it's private, how much harm is done by the publication, that will determine the extent to which police are going to put in their resources to investigate it. So if someone put a suicide and someone died, then that is false information. But then it's really complicated to investigate, because what if the person is posting it, believing that is actual information? So you got to be able to show that the person was malicious or have malicious intent.
That's true. That's true. That's
for correct. For them to post that picture. So it's not just enough to say, this is a fake story. But if they just say, you send me a picture of somebody that committed suicide, and I forwarded it to another person, and the person tried to sue me that I'm posting, well, in law, the first thing is about intent.
That's correct.
Do I intend to cause harm? Do I intend to profit from the pictures or from the information I'm sending to other people? That is complicated. And that is why law enforcement, like I said, unless the public interest is very high, law enforcement officers or police officers across the world are very reluctant to pursue some expedition on how to combat such issues. So that is a challenge.
All right. Yeah, I hear you loud and clear, and I think I've also been illuminated on this particular subject, because what you find out is that most of the stories come from some publications, and they would say reportedly, allegedly, reported to be, claimed to be, and that's a way that they use to exonerate themselves from saying, yes, categorically, we know this person ingested this pesticide or this bleach or whatever, you know, to commit suicide. So that's an escape route for them, because when you sue them, they will tell you, we said reportedly, allegedly, or sometimes claim to be, or authoritative sources, reliable sources, and all those kind of things come in such reports. Because I'm not even really talking about the individuals now. I'm talking about the registered publications, you know, which will take me to the next question I would ask you before we go on a break. And that is, a lot of publications on social media have no addresses, no contacts, and they do damage to corporate bodies and individuals. How do we resolve this?
Well, that's not difficult to resolve. You don't need an address. Remember, everything you do, every keystroke you make on your computer, they are all stored on your computer. Mm-hmm. If a serious crime is committed by a computer, whether you got the address on it or not, it will be found. Because it's just an IP address, there's a location, there's everything. So if someone, for example, use a computer to commit a serious crime, that is not a difficult thing to do. That's not difficult to check on. If you send, for example, you send me an email or you post something. Once you send me an email, I have the ability to check where that email is coming from.
True.
It's not that hard. So if somebody posted something on Facebook, on Instagram, all we got to do, we'll call a production warrant. Then that enables the police to seek permission from Facebook or Instagram to go a little bit deeper as to the source of that message. And
yeah.
It's not that once the warrant is approved by a judge, then Instagram, Facebook will have no choice but to release the source of those messages.
Yeah, I agree with you totally, since you've really... Yeah.
And it can be investigated. Like I said again, the reason why people think that way, because the resources is so much, and police cannot chase every crime committed on social media. So that's why...
I'm talking about publications that are registered, they have their websites, they send out stories that are not true, that are fake.
It's possible to find that they send out story. It is possible. What I'm saying, it is possible to find that, even if their address is not written there, you don't know where they are.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Law enforcement, I am telling you that law enforcement can find out where they are. It's not difficult to find out once you start the investigation.
Okay.
Nothing hidden. Let's just say that there's nothing you do on social media that cannot be discovered if police want to do the investigation. In this part of the world, like in Toronto. But in Nigeria, they may want to do it, but they ain't got the resources to do it.
Okay.
They have an address, if you go to a police station and say, like in Toronto, if you go to a police station and say, look, this person, I believe, kidnapped a child, is hiding it, posting it on it, but did not have an address there. Trust me, it wouldn't take more than 10, 15 minutes before we show up at the house where that email or that message was sent from.
Okay, originated from.
The originator is always known.
All right. Maybe there are some lessons to learn in this part of the world.
Remember, everything is going online, being recorded.
That's true. They say the internet does not forget.
No, the internet does not forget. Your computer does not forget. Your phone does not forget.
Wow.
Okay, so that's what the audience got to know about it. Anything you do, if it's amount to a crime that police are interested and police want to do a job to get investigation going, it is possible to get that person. Social media is the worst place you can leave evidence.
True. All right. Oh, we're already at the half-hour mark and we've not done enough. Okay, I'm sure when we come back from this music break, I'm sure we'll be talking about some of the things you would really like to talk about, because I've been channeling and directing the conversation. It's going to be your half. This was my first half, especially when we're celebrating Arsenal 3-1 over Tottenham today. And I'm sure it's going to be a beautiful second half on Diaspora Cup with Officer Basi Osage. Some more music. When we come back, the program continues.
This is another story, oh, for my man. Make I tell you what it happened for a bullet. Body's big party inside my bullet. I went there with my best friend Kule. Kule dead there with his girlfriend Shile. Ghetto girls them they like Takasufi. So many pretty girls they inside my mule. I just the one that say which can party, yeah. Everything yakba, everything there. Ah, Oshie, I get many girls with them they come from away. AJ boys them they like to throw away. Almost he go be. We just having fun. We won't carry on. Crazy guests like make the stallion. But my girlfriend, they yeah, they turn me on. That's why I hold them tight. Hold them, yeah, yeah. Hold them tight. Hold them, yeah, yeah. That's why I hold them tight. Hold them, yeah, yeah. Hold them tight. Hold them, yeah, yeah. We get plenty ololo, girl them not fogo logo. I just want shop and we take one photo before the baba them tell us to go. Ah, Oshie, I get many girls with them they come from away. AJ boys and they like to throw away. I'm a sigo be. We just having fun. We won't carry on. Crazy guests like make the stallion. But my girlfriend, they yeah, they turn me on. That's why I hold them tight. Hold them, yeah, yeah. Hold them tight. Hold them, yeah, yeah. That's why I hold them tight. Hold them, yeah, yeah. Hold them tight. Hold them, yeah, yeah.
Nigeria Radio, Diaspora Cup with Officer Basi Osage. And of course, you know, Sunday evenings like this in Nigeria, 8 p.m. Nigeria time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, that is when you listen to Some Serious Issues with Officer Basi Osage, Diaspora Cup, a Nigerian who's been serving in the Toronto Police Service for 22 years. And I'm sure you've been enjoying him since we started this program. A lot more will come your way between now and the top of the hour as we continue on law enforcement and social media. All right, my brother, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, so talk to me now. What are the things you would like to tell our listeners so that they can take it away from you? They can make a lot of takeaway from this opportunity to listen to you, especially as it relates to the topic today, law enforcement and social media.
Yes. The most important thing that I would like the listener to share from this is that, yes, it seems that we're always talking about the negative side of social media.
69.
Yes. But although we're talking about the negative, the public image for law enforcement officer, the headache that officers go through, the police administration, and even sometimes police officers lose their job as a result of social media. But social media still have many positive aspects that even the police or the public benefit from. Social media has also been proven to be a very quick way for police to send information to the member of the public. That helps us. I feel like me as a police officer, having my own social media site, my social media account where I can send information to the public. So that has been very, very a contributing factors in that. But to go back to the question that we posed so that the public listener came because of our question, I'm just going to go back and look at it again. I said, one of the first questions we put out for today was that, you ever wonder what to do when your rights are infringed upon on social media? So that is the first thing. You wonder the choice for the listener is, what do I do when someone infringes on my right? First thing I say, do not delete the information. Do not try to. What happens is that a lot of people report to the police. I mean, my experience as a police officer, they report it on social media infringement. But then they keep their side of the story. So if you are sending a picture to somebody and then they send it back to you back and forth, that's an implied consent to it. So that is, but what you should do, go to the police. Go to the police just as if any crime had been committed. Remove the fact from your head that, oh, this is social media. Social media is just like the public, just like everything else. You go, you follow the process. So that's why. But you may think that police are not investigating. Police do investigate social media crimes. But police look at the public interest as to how far they should go with the crime. So to answer that question, stop wondering what you do when your rights are being framed by social media people. Your job is to report. It's the police job to investigate. But if you live in a country like Nigeria where police lack the resources to investigate social media, if I were you, I would limit my personal information on social media. But in case you're just a victim, like you rightly said earlier, that people post something about somebody's death, then if you have the source of the information, you can go straight to them. But if you don't, sometimes you may just have to let it go. That I hope that answered the question a little bit. Don't hold back. Report it.
Wow.
So the next question is, why does such a fragment go unchallenged in the court of law? It's not unchallenged. It's just that it is very complicated to pursue social media infringements on your rights. Challenge in terms of the money and the time and what it's going to cost to investigate it. So that is one of the dangers of social media. Because people can put in fake news and misinformation and Photoshop your head and put it there like that. It's very difficult to investigate that. That is part of the danger of social media. We may just have to live with that. And a lot of people don't like it, but most crime on social media are not even reported, because the people are embarrassed to approach the police and talk about it, because they don't want people to know their secrets. Because as somebody report one social media infringement on their right, they too are also doing something that's not good. But for the media houses like us here, like a TV station, it's a challenge. You just got to have a good social network and also have a media PR. Toronto police suffer from the same thing. People go out there and post something against the police that are not true.
Mm.
Because it's so much, police cannot arrest or take to court every negative they're going to say about them. The back side of it, any organization or human being, you need to also have your own PR to counter any propaganda that's been used against you online. Then, how does the law protect you on social media? The best thing I'll say, every country differs. The law that controls social media in Nigeria is different than the law that controls social media in Canada.
Correct.
In the United States.
You're right on that.
So my suggestion is read your local law, your constitution, and that aspect that deals with social media, and then you will benefit from it. But if the social media crossed international, if somebody in Canada is posting stuff about you, that now crossed like Interpol's across the water, and the Interpol can help you. So for people in Nigeria, if somebody in Canada is saying things about you or labor or black things, or lie about you online, the best thing to do is to sue them in Canada, where the investigation can be carried out. And you probably get a better result if you're doing it in Canada. Then the next one about the question we posed earlier.
Sorry, before you go ahead, how do you now...
...available to in the hands of law enforcement agencies. This is big for us. This is big for the police. Because social media is a tool to fight crime. Because most of our police department social media accounts is very helpful for soliciting tips about crime, or even missing people. What we do now in Toronto, once somebody is missing, we put it out that the person is missing. But also, individual officers can also use social media for investigation. Like all online investigation, we usually comply with the law, but let me tell you, 8 out of 10 law enforcement professionals in my department actively use social media as a tool in investigation. And a lot of them, high percentages, also use social media in monitoring valuable processing, anticipation for crime. So if we think you're a child molester, we can befriend you online, and then we'll become friends. And that way, I can investigate what you're doing. And that will also help how we solve problem. So this part of the danger of social media, this part of everything we say about social media, that social media is not good, there are benefits a lot. The police department are benefiting more from social media than what they are losing to social media, besides the bad image. And let me tell you, we as police officers, we have bad negative press on social media than private citizens. But we deal with it by putting out the right information, by attacking it right away. So, but for the public, the issue is how do your law enforcement work in your country? And that's going to determine the success rate that your country is going to have. But the overall takeaway is do not put your information out there for anyone to be able to have access. Do not put private information. If you're going to put public private information on any social media account, you must set it setting that nobody have access to that information. And my last take before you start, before we debate any of the issue you want us to debate, my last take on it is that just don't get involved with people's social media. I mean, someone put out something against your social media, it's either you lay low, because by tomorrow, the law will go away. But I want to touch on something.
Go ahead.
I was just following on the Nigeria.
Go ahead.
Nigeria scene. I was following a publication by Instagram by pardon me if I don't say the name right. Pardon the audience. I hope I'm not saying anyone. The Toto DK. She about her relationship, but she posting everything online, and then the DSS name came up, that DSS probably investigated the boyfriend. So the my take on that is that if a decent law enforcement officer in Nigeria that is listening to us, police should never get involved in such personal back and forth investigation.
Okay.
Because what happened is that one person will come to you, but it should not be enough to just start harassing the other person. Although it may be legit to bring the person to the station or call them to find out what they experienced. But the other aspect I want to touch about this is this issue of petition to the police in Nigeria. If someone posts something about you on social media, then you go to the police and it's a petition that this person posts something about, and then they have to invite you in and talk to you. I don't get it. And I try to search the Nigerian constitution. I don't see where the issue of petition really come into play. Petition, police are, or DSL are using petition as a form of arrest of the citizen.
Yeah, but it's in some form of information or about crime or suspected crime.
Yeah, but if someone said that you post a picture of me, post a picture of you online, that should be left for the local police to deal with, not to the level of DSS or to the level of other
police. All right, maybe.
My advice to young police officers is be very mindful of how you handle social media investigation. I've been there, done that, where everything doesn't look the way it seems. That is just my take on it, that you got to be very careful how you do the investigation, because most often both parties are guilty of the same thing.
All right. Okay, so let's go to something that was of interest to me earlier on when you were speaking. You were talking about suing publications and all of that. How do you serve, okay, a summons or a read or whatever to a publication without an address? It's a major problem. And you can serve them by email, which is on their website.
Well, like I said, what you do is, if the police cannot do it, you can get a private investigator. It might be expensive if you're a media house, to get the IP address of where that publication comes from. They probably, if they are not registered, then you'll be able to just minor. I don't want to use the word minor. Just a search. The only way you can do it, basically, is to get someone who's IT savvy to look for the IP address and find out where the IP is coming from.
Yeah.
Once you can get that, then you can serve them based on that address. But the problem is, there are some states in the United States, I don't know, in Canada, where if you send email and it shows that they read it, or there's a way they figure it out, then they can consider that as you're serving them for court.
Mm.
But in Canada, you have to serve them in person. So what will we do in that kind of investigation? You come to us, say this person. So obviously we'll carry an investigation. But if it's civil, then police might be like, okay, this is a civil case. But then the question is, how do you then get the address of that person? You might have to apply. In Canada, we have freedom of information. You can apply to the police to get certain information from them. And then when you get that information from the police, you can then use that to then serve the suspect or whoever who's friendly or right. That's the only way we can do it. But that's why a lot of companies just let it go. But if you don't really want to let it go, you can do your IP ad search. You can get your own private investigation, get your IT people to figure out where that computer is. Then you can take that to the police and say, look, this person, this is where they're coming from. This is where they are logging on from. This is the website. Or you can check this. If you find the name of the company, you can check the CAC
mm-hmm.
in Nigeria. You can check the CAC to see if that company registered. Most of these companies are registered. Once you can get the CAC, then usually they have an address with the CAC. Then you can then send a summon to, I'm not really sure how the summons work in Nigeria, but I know in Canada, once you find out the person where the person live or where the registration for that business, they are deemed served. If they are not updating their business address with the CAC, it's on them, not you. And they say the days will elapse where it's deemed served if you can't locate their, if they don't respond to it.
Wow, very interesting, very illuminating, enlightening. Diaspora Cup on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, Positive Nigerian Energy. I just wish Nigeria would tap into some of your skills, your talents, and your experience in this game. Officer Basi Asage of the Toronto Police Service. Anyway, that's why we're doing this program, so that they can begin to see that Nigerians in diaspora can solve some of the insecurity, or is it security, and some of the challenges that we have in Nigeria as it relates to law enforcement and security. All right, we're winding down now. We've done 50 minutes on the program, and we just got like 5 more minutes to go. So what are the key learning points? What are the key issues that we need to be accustomed with, especially as it relates to law enforcement and social media? You've said so many things, and I believe our listener out there, you know, has gotten a lot of information, what to do, what not to do, how do you resolve a lot of these issues. But your final word on all of this. Last week you gave us a beautiful final word. I hope people can go to the audio archives and get that as it relates to cybercrime. And we look forward to having Kitesh again. And so, tonight, what is your final word on law enforcement and social media?
Final word is to remember what my grandma told me. Mm-hmm. If you don't like smoke, don't go in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you don't like social media, people will tell you, oh my God, I don't like social media, I don't like that. Then why are you on it? So don't be on it if you don't like it, if you can't take it. You must know that once you're on social media, then it's game for everyone.
Yeah.
You don't have much protection once you get yourself out there. But the good news is that police are getting better in catching these criminals, in catching this misinformation. Sometimes it's just a gap, but being where all I do is make a phone call to the suspect, to the person who's perpetrating the crime. I say, look, buddy, we are watching you. Stop sending those messages or the people are going to sue you. So those are all it takes sometimes. So my take is that social media is here to stay. You are better off mastering the act. You are better off knowing more about it. You are better off protecting yourself from it. You are better off just insulating yourself from the impending problem, because the problem is going to come. It's your ability to fight the problem that are going to test your true character. They're going to test how you're going to do things. It's not what you do. It's not the problem. It's how you tackle it. So, conclusion is, police are benefiting from it. It's good for our public image. We use that public announcement to people. We use it to govern our public opinion, because police cannot operate unless the public support them. We use it to increase our public trust in us, and we use it to investigate crime. And it's cheaper than sending people out there to investigate crime. So it's more cheaper to use social media. So that's why we train all our officers on, we encourage them to use social media, and it's allowed for efficiency. Instead of taking so long to investigate crime, it takes a matter of days to send emails, email back, you get a warrant, tell a warrant, you get everything, we get everything back done. And also, it helps police to hire good quality applicants.
Well, that's very vital, that's very important, it's key and germane to the success of the police service anywhere in the world. But in Nigeria, the police force, we don't render service, it's police force. Yes. All right, thank you very much, Officer Basi Asage, Nigerian police officer in the Toronto Police Service, not police force. That makes a whole world of difference. All right, thank you very much. And today we've been talking about law enforcement and social media. Very, very illuminating and exciting, enlightening topic. And of course, you've done a very good job of breaking it down for us. I've learned a couple of things too. And I'm sure our listener out there has learned too. All right, next week it will be time again for Diaspora Cup on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Positive Nigerian energy, positive Nigerian vibes. Bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. All right. Next week again, we'll be here. I'm sure you'll be here too, Officer Basia Sagi.
Of course, I'll be here. But next week, I don't try to bring in one interesting guest to talk about something fun, something interesting for everyone.
All right. No problem. Thank you very much. All right. Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Transmission continues with Afrobeat Sunday Jump on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.